Now, we take a look at the political situation in Northern Ireland, and it was announced yesterday that a third attempt to restore Stormont's power-sharing institutions through the election of an Assembly Speaker has failed. As expected, the Democratic Unionist Party, or the DUP, blocked the nomination of Speaker and Deputy Speaker over its ongoing protest at the Northern Ireland Protocol. No Assembly business can proceed until the posts are filled. The DUP's in quotes, continued boycott of Stormont was branded unforgivable by Sinn Féin Vice President and First Minister-designate Michelle O'Neill. This is according to an article in the Irish Times from Seanine Graham. Ciara, what did Michelle O'Neill say? We have a clip from her here, but she's quoted in the Times today.
Yeah, and she accused the party, again, the quote, punishing the public by denying them a government to fund essential public services, a move she then described as totally unacceptable. The North has been without a functioning assembly since May's elections. Again, in quote by Michelle O'Neill, she told the chamber, "The DUP are the only party that are blocking and preventing the executive being formed, preventing the executive meeting that would allow us to distribute money to workers and families." She then said that she listened to DUP leader Geoffrey Donaldson in a radio interview earlier that morning, saying, "Talking about how everything is fine and dandy and about how Stormont has the budget to do the business." She then said, "That is not true."
So let me say to you, even at this late hour today, workers need help, families need help, businesses need help, and you're continuing to punish the public that we are elected to serve by your continued refusal to govern with the rest of us.
Now, the controversial protocol bill, which aims to scrap parts of the post-Brexit trade deal, is making its way through Westminster and is due to come before the House of Lords in the autumn. Geoffrey Donaldson has indicated that he is unable to provide a timeline for his party's return to Stormont until a new UK Prime Minister is elected and can provide assurances about the bill. DUP party colleague Brian Kingston told yesterday sitting that he regarded the latest recall as, in quotes, stunt politics, and said the protocol had caused a deep fracture which will continue to grow until it is dealt with. These proceedings are not a genuine attempt by the parties opposite to restore the political institutions. Rather, they demonstrate a willful disregard for the views of unionists and the principle of power sharing itself in Northern Ireland.
Only with its passage undiminished can our institutions be freed from the dark shadow of the protocol. That point has not yet been reached, and we will want to assess the views of any future new Prime Minister before taking any further action.
A motion tabled by the SDLP on the cost of living crisis has led to the recall. The party formed an official opposition last month. An opposition leader, Matthew O'Toole, said the DUP's position in delaying its return until the election of new UK Prime Minister was preposterous. The DUP had previously said it would take a graduated and cautious approach to restoring Stormont as protocol legislation is passed in Westminster. Mr. O'Toole argued this had already happened following the bill's swift passage through the Commons. He accused Geoffrey Donaldson's party of acting in a frankly unconscionable manner during the unprecedented economic pressures. Again, a direct quote, "Are the DUP seriously saying we don't need a government, that hundreds of millions of pounds can sit unspent at Stormont when people go without support while that cost of living crisis bites?"
I think it's a bit rich for the DUP to call the SDLP's recall of the Assembly a stunt. We're actually trying to get Assembly up and running. We're trying to have government happen. That's not a stunt. I would say collapsing institutions, preventing us from spending hundreds of millions of pounds when there's a cost of living emergency on, I would call that a stunt and a pretty unforgivable one.
Now, the DUP continues to link its return to Stormont with the progress of the bill in London, arguing that the protocol as it stands creates an economic border in the Irish Sea that is unacceptable to unionism. Earlier, Geoffrey Donaldson said that he could not set out a timeline for his party's return to devolved power sharing at Stormont. He told BBC Radio Ulster, "We need to know where that new Prime Minister is going with the protocol bill. We need to know, is that Prime Minister going to reopen negotiations with the European Union and what that might mean. He continues by saying, how quickly are we going to see progress towards a solution that we need on the protocol? Because that's what I need to see happening. Can I right now look you in the eye and say, here is the timeline? Of course I can't, says Mr. Donaldson, because I don't know at this stage who the Prime Minister is going to be. I don't know what line they are going to take. Geoffrey Donaldson also branded the recall sitting as a stunt, declined to say whether he would prefer Rishi Sunak or Liz Truss as the next Prime Minister. He says that's a matter for the Conservative Party. So that is the latest when it comes to Northern Ireland. That is reflected in an article by Seanine Graham in the Irish Times today. A third attempt to restore Stormont's power-sharing institutions through the election of an Assembly Speaker has failed, and that failed yesterday.
Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. Whitewatersc.ie. Kildare
KFM. All right, welcome back to the programme. Let's go to the Castledermot area now, because on the line is Jimmy. He is a listener in the area. Jimmy, good morning and welcome to the programme.
Good morning.
You want a crash barrier erected at what you're describing an 8 or 9 foot drop on a rural road in Barn Hill. You got in touch with us yesterday. Just describe the area to us and what the issue is.
Well, it's a farmer's area and it's not occupied at the minute. And if you walk down that road, there's a yellow line which keeps the traffic in the centre of the road. And if you walk 6 inches, you're down, you fall down 8 feet. Now, the council know about this. There was an accident there some 2 months ago. And it was lucky that there was nobody killed. Now, if a lorry goes down there, well, you can imagine what's going to happen with a lorry going down there. A car already went in there. It was lucky enough there was nobody killed. And, you know, do we have to wait for someone to get killed? Now, the council arrived there, put up reflectors, white reflectors. And looked at it and I thought, yeah, OK, they're going to do something about it now, eventually. So it's there and the grass has grown up around them. So you know they're there, but they're obscured. You can't see them so
right.
Well. So if anything happens there, it's a drop of 8 feet.
Is it on a bend?
It's not on a bend, it's on a straight path of the road, which is probably the reason why there has been no accidents there.
Right.
And probably the reason why there's no accidents there is because it's coming directly down off the motorway and traffic is not at high speed. But it's the first accident that I know that happened there. But does it have to be another one and about 3 or 4 people taken out of it dead?
So when you say there's a drop off the road, then is it into, I know it's into farmer's land, is it kind of like a ditch then?
It's a ditch which is a rotted away sort of thing, and it's obscured because it looks safe. It looks to the eye, it looks good. If you're walking along, you say, well, there's nothing wrong there. But if you walk 6 inches or a foot at one point, you're dropping down about 8 or maybe 8 or 10 feet. Now, the farmer's area, there's nobody, it's not occupied at the minute, but, you know, I'm sure that if it was occupied, that the farmer would certainly make sure that there's a crash barrier put up there.
Yeah.
A proper crash barrier is needed there. The council know about this.
So you know, Kildare County Council, they've put what are they, high-vis kind of luminous posts there, is it?
Yeah, they're white, small reflectors, 2 feet high with reflective signs on the front and on the front and back of them. And it shows you that there's a danger there. But it doesn't, if something happens, it's not going to stop anything. It's like a sheet of paper.
How long ago was this that they came out and put them those barriers
about
there?
About 2 months ago, maybe more.
Right, and the grass is growing over them. You're calling
Well, it tells you the length of time it's been done there when the grass is growing that high. It's grown about 2 or 3 feet.
Yeah, so you're calling for a crash barrier to be erected. Have you had any response back from the council? We asked them to provide a statement or if they were aware of this situation. I know you say that they are. We haven't had a response from the council.
No, I haven't spoken to the council. they know about it, so what's the use in talking to them when they know about it?
Mm. Right, and it's on a fairly busy stretch of road as well, the Burnhill area.
It's on the old N9 road, and they've changed it now to the R44. But it would have been one of the most busiest roads in the country at one time. It's still very busy. And as I said to you there, do we have to wait for someone to get killed to be digging them out of a hedge? And somebody said, well, we all knew about this, but we did nothing about it. So the council know about it. So why aren't they doing something about it?
Okay, well, as I say, we have been in touch with Kildare County Council. If any of the local councillors are listening in at the moment down in Castle Dermot, is there something that can be done on that road along the Burnhill area? Do get in touch with us and we can put you in touch with Jimmy. But that is Jimmy, a listener there, raising that issue where he says that there's a drop off the side of that rural road and that if a crash barrier is not erected soon, it could lead to a potential accident and have serious consequences. On the line now, we're going to stay with the issue of road issues and road concerns, because Orla O'Neill is a listener in Kilcullen. She's concerned, along with other residents, about the speed driving along the Sunny Hill Road in the area. Orla, good morning to you.
Good morning, Owen.
This is on the back of Kildare County Councillors voting against the speed limit bylaws. There was an article covered in the Kildare Nationalist today, and it's under the headline, Sunny Hill Residents Sound the Warning Over Speed Limits. Tell us a bit about that area of road.
Yeah, I mean, I've been campaigning around this issue for the last 18 years, really, the local Gardaí could probably pace the walls with the amount of emails they've had about enforcement and trying to get something done, and as have other residents over the years. But the situation has got worse and worse. Kilcullen is an absolute nightmare at the moment. There's huge congestion. The relief road that should have been built with the housing estates 20 years ago was never built. And anybody who goes through it will know that there's build up at the traffic lights, and subsequently the Sunny Hill Road is used as a rat run. So, it has just got worse. The commercial traffic has got worse. Google Maps sends people from the M9, if they're looking to go to Newbridge or south on the M7, through the Sunny Hill Road. So there's a huge number of issues kind of all coming together there. Mm. So about a year before the pandemic, the residents got together and got the road and the area engineer out and said, look, this is ridiculous. And it's 60 kind of at that point, and 50 just where I live. But like, there's no change in the speed that people come down that road off the Athy Road and just go as fast as they can around corners and blind corners. So, the road engineer went through different things. They said, oh, actually the road was too narrow to put road markings at one point, So you can imagine, so we were told that the speed limit review is coming up, wait for them, that'll be the chance. And you can imagine our absolute horror when we discovered that not only was there no chance of getting it reduced, they were actually proposing to increase the speed limit from 60 to 80 on a road that can't even take 60 kilometres an hour, never mind anything else. So it's,
what was the justification for increasing it? Or proposing to increase
it? There is no justification. There is no justification for that road. The council works it, and I do understand, that Kildare is very overdue in having its speed limit review, and people want Jake's Law introduced in housing estates and all of that. We're very conscious of that. But there are 2015 guidelines for speed limits, and everything outside of an urban area, even those like L roads, are 80 unless you can prove otherwise. And my point is that we have proven otherwise. So there's a list of exceptions in those guidelines. It's to do with road width, it's to do with kind of the camber on the road, it's to do with if you do traffic counts and look at the speed that cars are going generally, that is an indication of the speed that the road can take. That road, and again, I don't have the just away at the moment, so I don't have the figures, but that road, so in the submission I made to and others made to the speed limit review, we said your own traffic counts prove that this road cannot take 80 kilometres an hour. but it was seemed to be ignored. And Tracy O'Dwyer, in fairness, our local councillor, has made efforts since September, since before September, knowing that they had not put it back down to 60. And then, even though we all made submissions, we didn't realise that it was coming up for decision. Just found out just beforehand, and made further representations to the councillors. And thankfully, it didn't get through. But really, my issue was with the councillors who did vote it through. And they knew, many of them, I had canvassed personally about that road and have been doing so for the last 18 years. Now, and they didn't explain to me why they voted for those guidelines.
You touched on it from the outset, Orla, and you know, it's 60 kilometres along the Sunny Hill area, proposed to go up to 80. That wasn't voted through. But describe to me how busy the road is, because I know it has quite a lot of vehicular traffic, particularly from trucks.
Yeah, well, it's. I mean, anybody who knows Ron, and you know, let's be clear here. The biggest problem is driver behaviour. So people listening who use this road will know what this issue is, and they will know the build up in Cullen. They will know the build up in. You know, even up at the top of the road, going out onto the Athy Road from the Sunny Hill Road. I mean, I commute. I'm leaving the house sometimes at 7:15 in the morning to get the train, going out, you know, towards the Athy Road. And at that point, even the traffic then is just flying. You know, it's just because they have absolutely no obstacle because there's so few traffic in there. And I've been nearly run off the road at least twice, and as have others, because there is a point that is less than 6 metres in width, and it's those residents along that strip there, just over the motorway bridge past the substation, that were most at risk. They have no footpath. My own nephew, partner, and her little boy, trying to walk into Kilcullen, the supposed footpath along that motorway bridge isn't even wide enough for a buggy. You know, it's absolutely ludicrous. And at a time when we're trying to encourage people back onto bikes, I see people cycling there and jogging. And I, you know, I really fear for them. But it is driver behaviour, and it is the council not being looking specifically at that road. It's about our own councillors that ignored our pleas, not looking specifically at that road. And I think they are accountable back to us as to why they didn't look for it to be changed and voted accordingly. Okay. And as I mentioned, the problem is this isn't over for us. These bylaws have to come into force at some point. We have no guarantee that they are going to change it. And so we're issuing a call to the councillors who voted in favour of the bylaws to come out and look at the road with us and explain to me why they think that it should be 80 kilometres an hour.
Okay, a cautious welcome, but also a warning from residents on the Sunny Hill Road in Kilcullen when, Orla has mentioned, their councillors had voted down proposals for the speed limits review, but still some work to be done there. That is Orla O'Neill, a listener in the Sunny Hill area of Kilcullen. Many thanks for joining us on the programme this morning, and good morning to you.
Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. Whitewatersc.ie.
Okay, Fine Gael councillor on the Athy Municipal District, Ivan Keatley, is on the line. Morning, Ivan.
Morning, how are you?
I'm not too bad. Thanks for taking the call and for getting in touch with us. You're very quick off the mark there, just in relation to Jimmy, who was on with us about 10 or 15 minutes ago, wanting that crash barrier to be erected, but he describes that 8 or 9 foot drop on the road in Barnhill. Are you aware of the area? Because what he describes it is there's two roundabouts off the M9 that kind of links up with Castle Dermot, so it's quite a busy road in and out of the town.
I'm very aware of the link road there. I'm not familiar exactly with what Jimmy was referring to in terms of the drop. I know the area he's talking about and where the council had done some minor works. But look at, I put down a motion in September meetings. We've no meetings, unfortunately, in August. So I look for an official response in writing from the council, and we can work from there.
Okay. Also, Ivan, there was a listener who's been in touch with us, and just while we have you on, wanting to know if we could speak to yourself about the ongoing works in Ballytor Village. How long have these works been going on, Ivan?
Which I'm not exactly sure on which works you're talking about. I know there are works in a number of places. There's a private estate currently being built, and there are connection works for utilities, so for water and ESB and the like. So
I'd say it's probably the connection works that the listener's talking about.
It's not on the council side, but I know the council would be involved in some of the supervision, so I can certainly go and ask the area engineer when that work is supposed to be completed. But as I say, that's a private contractor that is doing that work at the moment.
Okay. Yeah, you might
we can look for more detail on it.
You might just check that out for us, because this listener is saying that those works are going on too long now. So even if we just had a timeline just to mention how long it's going to take, then everyone could be cleared up on that. But that's good news that that's going to be taken up, particularly in Castledermot. A motion will be brought forward to the next meeting of the Athy MD to see if we can get that crash barrier erected at Barn Hill and sort out that problem for Jimmy. So fair play to Ivan Keatley there, Fine Gael councillor on the Athy Municipal District, getting in touch with us straight away. Another message in here. Hi, Owen. Just listening to Orla about the road at Sunny Hill, which I travel on from time to time. She's dead right. It's very dangerous, and the speed should be lowered, and people should slow down before something serious happens. And that comes in from Mary. So, yeah, look, the background to it is that Kildare County Councillors have voted, albeit not unanimously, against the adoption of the Kildare Speed Limit Review 2022 draft bylaws. So it was revision B of these draft bylaws. It was before a special meeting of the council last week for consideration and adoption, but a number of concerns were raised by councillors. So it was going to increase or decrease or review traffic limit speed limits around the county in various different areas. One of those was in Sunny Hill in Kilcullen, where the proposed speed was to be increased from 60 to 80 kilometres an hour. Orla, who was on the programme with us there a few moments ago, saying that even 60 is too fast. How could it possibly been proposed to be increased to 80? But it wasn't passed, hasn't been increased. But her point is, for those councillors who voted for it to be increased, what's the justification for it? And is there a possibility that they'll be increased further down the line? It is Kildare Today with Owen Beattie and Kira Noble. Joined on the line now by Selena Barrett, Chief Fire Officer for Kildare. Selena, good morning to you. You're very welcome to the programme.
Good morning, Owen.
Some vacancies for retained firefighters here in the county in Maynooth, Leixlip and Monastrevin. First of all, explain that term to me, retained firefighters.
Okay, so our firefighters live and work in their local community, and they respond to the fire station on the activation of their alerters. That means they carry a pager all of the time. And when the pager activates, they go to the fire station and respond to the emergency call. So that's what a retained firefighter means. A lot of people mix it up with being a part-time firefighter, but actually they're kind of giving us whole-time availability, but they don't actually stay in the station like full-time firefighters do. They go about their business and just go to the fire station when they're needed.
Okay, as I say, there are vacancies now in the north of the county, in Maynooth and Leixlip, and in the south of the county, in Monastrevin. If we take each station individually then, particularly Monastrevin, I know there's been a shortage there for quite a while. We have some audio from the Monastrevin firefighters from last year that was sent in to us. What would the job entail?
So it starts off by doing some initial training. So you would do a recruit course and followed by a breathing apparatus course. And then sort of a typical week, there's a training session one night a week, and you attend that for 2 hours. And then you give us the availability to respond to calls during the week. And I mean, that's day and night. So typically we're looking for someone who lives within a reasonable travel distance of the station. So typically within 5 to 10 minutes drive at normal speed, following the normal route of the road, and be available. And I suppose the big thing with the retained fire service is availability. Be able to, you know, leave whatever you're doing and go to the fire station when that pager goes off.
Yeah, it's very important as well, because obviously it's a job which you'd be remunerated for, but it also helps the safety of the county.
Absolutely. Really, it is such a community-based job. You know, it provides a service to your neighbours, your family, your friends. We so much need the community to get involved in this and consider whether it's a job that they're prepared to do in order to support the local community. And as you're saying, Monastereven has struggled in recent times to try and hold on to the numbers that we need in the station. So we would appeal to anyone in Monastereven who thinks that this is something that they might be able to do to come along to the information night, which is on the 15th of August. And we're doing it via Teams, so you can do it from the comfort of your own couch. So anyone that's interested in that, if they send an email to firerecruit@kildarecoco.ie, we'll send out the Teams link to them and they can join us on Monday the 15th of August at 7 o'clock.
Let's hear from some of the current serving firefighters at Monastereven Station.
For over 70 years, many firefighters have passed through the gates of Monastereven, honouring, protecting and serving the people around them.
By battling fires throughout their time in the community, conquering the waters at the River Barron.
Standing side by side with the medical practitioners, aiding men and women and children in their times of need.
Right up to the modern day of commanding incidents on road networks that present themselves in the scenic surroundings of Kildare.
These firefighters did what they had to do in order to serve and protect the people of Monastereven before us. And now it's your turn to follow their lead.
We are now looking for people like you who carry on in the footsteps of giants who have proudly stood in the bays of Monastereven Station before us. We need you to drop what you're doing at the beck and call of those around us.
And others are in the greatest need of aid, and to be the one to assist them to a safer place to mend, mind and medically cater for their unprecedented juncture.
We need you to support both your and our families, to help within your community, to realise your potential, that yes, you can be a firefighter.
One of your most wished jobs, no doubt, when you were younger.
We answer your calls every day. Now it's time to please consider answering ours.
Yeah, I think it's a good way to finish that up, to say, you know, we answer your calls every day. Now it's time for you to answer ours. And it's not about, I suppose, you know, the job necessarily, as we said. It is about the community and helping if you possibly can. In terms of the amount of vacancies, Selena, in Monastereven, in Maynooth and Leixlip, how many are we talking about?
Well, we currently have two vacancies in Maynooth and two in Monastereven, and Leixlip, we're expecting some vacancies to arrive there in the short term. We're putting panels in place because the nature of the retained service, you can go from having a full complement in a station today and, you know, you can have people moving on to other jobs tomorrow. So we tend to go through the panels, and you'll know that we've been on the show here a few times, you know, promoting our recruitment drive. So anyone who's interested and who gets through the selection process is more than likely going to be offered a position. So we really would encourage anyone out there. As the lad said, you know, it's kind of a very sought after job when you're a child, and if it's something you dreamed about when you were a child, we're asking you to come forward now and, you know, join in the information session, come along and do the practical tests and see if it is a job for you.
Okay, and just finally then, Selena, how do people get in touch? Give us that email address again and details of the information night.
Okay, so it's firerecruit@kildarecoco.ie. So that's firerecruit at kildarecoco, kildarecoco.ie. The forms are on the Kildare County Council website. And if anyone has any questions, the Teams night on the 15th of August will answer a lot of those questions. And if someone didn't catch that email address, it's a bit complicated for the radio, then give us a call here in the fire station and we'll tell them the links and where everything is located.
Okay, great stuff. That is Selena Barrett, Chief Fire Officer with Kildare County Council. Vacancies for retained firefighters at Maynooth, Leixlip and Monastereven stations. And Selena, thanks for joining us on the show this morning. Ciara, there's an interesting article here that I see, and also speaking on national media today. Coroner's data shows 27 unidentified remains in the state, and Professor Dennis Cusack is mentioned here. He's of course the former coroner in County Kildare. Tell us a bit more about this.
Yeah, he just recently retired, obviously spoke to us a few times here on Kildare today. So this data, it was collected from the state's coroners, and it did reveal the remains of 27 people are unidentified. It's new information emerging. This is from the data submitted to the Department of Justice by coroners after they sought details of all human remains within their districts dating back 70 years. It's the first of its kind probe by the department. 13 unidentified whole remains were noted, 14 partial remains, seven are male, three are female, the rest unidentified. That's in the Republic of Ireland. Now, the Minister for Justice currently is Helen McEntee. She said, in quotes here, all coroners were written to last year and they were asked to provide information on any unidentified remains that they have within their districts. She said the intention now is that this information will be passed by my office to An Garda Síoc Chona, hopefully will allow and support the Missing Persons Unit with Forensic Science Ireland to identify more missing individuals. Now, we know the National Missing Persons Helpline, they represent families of missing people, did say it hopes the figure of 27 unidentified remains is accurate, as there are over 800 people recorded missing in the 26 counties.
Yeah, Chairperson Dermot Brown said, with over 800 long-term missing in this country, anything that helps to bring some relief to the families is welcomed. He added that information relating to unidentified remains should not be held by local coroners but in one centralised location. Minister McEntee said information on unidentified remains will be placed on a central database updated annually by coroners from their districts. She said, we are now putting this on a more structured, on a more central database, so every year coroners will provide information where there are any unidentified remains within their districts. Professor Dennis Cusack, Ciara, forensic and legal medical specialist, the former Kildare coroner, as I mentioned. What did he have to say?
Yeah, he said the database would help families of missing people find closure. And of course, that is what the majority of the Irish public want. He's quoted here, knowing the number of unidentified remains in the country is important from a number of perspectives. He says, first, where people have been missing in recent years and decades, it's for their families. If they can find out where their loved one is, it's sad news, but it brings a certain finality. And he also says it allows us to look at unsolved mysteries of missing persons, particularly where there may have been foul play or the involvement of another person in bringing about that death. So Helen McEntee, the Minister for Justice, has said DNA tests on the 27 unidentified remains is a matter for the Gardaí and Forensic Science Ireland.
Yeah, we'll have more news on that throughout the course of the day on our news bulletins here on KFM. And don't forget, Ciara will be back this afternoon between 2 and 3 on Kildare Focus. Just to mention what's coming up on the programme, she'll be talking to... we covered this, I think, on the newspaper review a couple of weeks ago, Ciara, and it was a very, very disturbing and upsetting case. Saoirse Brennan, a young Newbridge woman who had suffered a very traumatic and scary incident.
Yeah,
she's going to be talking to you.
Yeah, you and I spoke about it because we both saw it on Facebook. She put up a post basically on Facebook trying to help other people, you know, not trying to scaremonger, but she had a horrific ordeal, I have to say, really scary after a night out. She was walking home and she was approached by two males, and I know it really, really caused her such anxiety. She has going to be speaking to me at about 2 o'clock this afternoon. Then we'll speak with the head of education and bereavement at the Irish Hospice Foundation. They're calling for statutory compassionate leave. That's for grieving workers. Michael Guerin, we've spoken to him here on Kildare Today, senior addiction counsellor with Coonwarra over in Athy. Is it time we start normalising sobriety, and how to make people who don't feel comfortable in social settings feel comfortable when they don't drink? So we'll be speaking with all those guests between 2 and 3.
Yeah, and just finally then, before we finish up with a piece of music and headlines here, the Kerry GAA chairman rubbishes drug claim over video of All-Ireland celebrations. This has been covered in the Irish Independent, and Stephen Fernan has this story. The Kerry County Board is believed to be considering legal action over an online video that claimed Kerry footballers were involved involved in drug taking during recent celebrations following the All-Ireland final win against Galway on the 24th of July. In a recent tweet, Kerry County Board Chairman Patrick O'Sullivan labelled the rumours in quotes a joke and unacceptable. The Kerry GAA official took to Twitter to refute the video, which was spitefully circulated on social media, apparently showing players partying while holding up Visa cards and chanting hashtag, in quotes, the bag. Few outside Kerry GAA circles will be aware that Mr. Sullivan's long-term nickname is, in quotes, the bag, and the chants were supposedly raised after the players were given Mr. O'Sullivan's credit card to buy a round of drinks, according to this article. The rumours were immediately dismissed as nonsense, but they lingered on social media, resulting in Mr. O'Sullivan having to issue a tweet to formally explain the reason behind the video. He says here, I am Patrick O'Sullivan, in brackets, Tattler. The bag is my nickname, which I got back in the 80s from my gear bag that I used to bring to games. They, the players, were chanting my name as I lost in card roulette. It's a joke to suggest the Kerry players are on drugs and is unacceptable, according to that tweet from Mr. O'Sullivan. Another Kerry GAA source, who does not wish to be named, told the Kerry man that he was present on the night that the video was taken. He said everyone had put their credit cards on the table as part of the game drinking game roulette. He dismissed it as total rubbish, claiming of drug taking, saying team management were present and the premises was full of people enjoying themselves. There were also security cameras in the establishment. It's understood Croke Park officials contacted the Kerry County Board in the days after the video was published online seeking clarification. It was explained to them that the bag is Mr. O'Sullivan's nickname, and he goes on to say here that this is all total rubbish. So you may have seen perhaps that video being circulated. I myself haven't. That is the first that I have heard of it. I know there was talk about a video, but I haven't seen it at all. But there is clarification. Kerry County Board believed to be considering now legal action over that online video, and that article by Stephen Fernan in today's Irish Independent.